Hey, it's me, Russell Peters. You're listening to the number one KISS podcast in the world. Shout it out loudcast with me, motherfuckers. And you know why? You could be having sex. You could be making love. Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Oi.
Stop pressing the button.
Star Broker Simmons.
Star?
Paul Stanley. Is that what he does?
Stop shouting.
Ace Bradley.
He's not what you would call a handsome man.
Oh, no. Here come the KISS times. Is that a positive thing? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to grab me a nice cold mellow alcohol.
Why? Why do that to the fan?
Stop it.
Why?
Because fuck him. That's all. 617-525-0.
You do?
Hey, fucko!
Do you like KISS?
Settle down.
Hello. Hey, what's up there, KISS Army? It's Tom and Zeus with another episode of Shout It Out Loudcast. Episode 245, Craig Gass. Been a long time coming, Tom.
Right. We finally got him. We've been talking to Craig for a long time on the cruise at Creatures Fest and finally hooked up with him. So you guys are going to have a blast with this one. Tons of fun here. Holy shit.
Yes. Yes. But before we get to that, we always go backwards before we go forward. So we talk about last week's episode. And last week, we did a KISS draft, the ultimate Gene Simmons draft with the boys from Gene Simmons Money Bag Soda.
Yes.
Tom, we did a poll, right?
Yes, we did. We asked what should be the number one pick in a Gene Simmons draft. Now, we know we had five guys in the draft. Twitter will only allow you to do four. So the options were Deuce, God of Thunder, Unholy, and Calling Dr. Love. Now, I don't know what I was expecting, but I was a little bit surprised for this. Deuce ran away with this at 43%. Then you had God of Thunder at second at 30%. Unholy at 18 and Calling Dr. Love at 10. Kind of surprising. I don't know. What do you think of that? Because
it's funny because the four quintessential Gene songs.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of people had write-ins for. Not write-ins, but the people who voted for Calling Dr. Love commented a lot saying, I want Calling Dr. Love. I want Calling Dr. Love. We had a comment from Kurt Von King who says, God of Thunder and Destroyer stinks. It's too slow. Bob's kids doing all that gibberish and dumb sound effects make it an instant skip. God of Thunder live is awesome. We had a new Twitter person. I don't remember seeing this one. He goes by Your Friend. That's his Twitter handle. He says, all four are goddamn wonderful. Dr. Love is one of my favorite tunes as a kid. Unholy was a return of the demon. God of Thunder is classic. And I don't like Deuce because I don't like that type of nookie.
Okay.
Okay, then. You did it all for the nookie. All right.
Oh, God.
Wait until I pick fucking Limp Bizkit for ARC. Oh, yeah. I'm kidding. That's never going to happen. A couple episode specific comments here. Well, Daryl Albert posts a fucking video of fucking the Whack Pack with Crackhead Bob and Fred the Elephant Boy. Jesus.
Did you see somebody posted? I didn't even know about this incident. Was it they posted it or was it Jeff Trott?
Guess who's back in the motherfucking house? Put a fat dick for your motherfucking mouth.
Who sent us a clip? I guess Fred the Elephant Boy shit himself.
Yep. One time
and he came to like a meet and greet event for fucking Gary or something.
Yeah, no one showed up.
And
he stayed there and just shit himself.
And he had shit in his pants for like, and people were like, what the fuck?
That's why I'm saying the Whack Pack for Howard Stern is not that different from the Whack Pack for Shout It Out Loudcast.
Oh, God.
So Elvis Lee Lewis says, great episode, but I cannot believe the awesome Fits Like a Glove sequel known as Any Way You Slice It was not drafted.
I like that song. We said there was a lot of good songs left on the table.
All right. And that's what we got for Twitter.
All right. on the Book of Face. Ryan Michael Scott, Courtney Cronin, Dold, Ramaswamy, fucking Tweed Simmons. I'm glad you addressed Kiss's show in Australia. A lot of hate towards it, but I thought it looked awesome. And thanks to Jack Pinocchio. For live streaming it. Yep, Jack, thanks for putting that on our thing. It was great to see. This may be your best draft yet. It's so difficult to say who had the best picks, but I'll give it a Zeus. Second, John. Third, Tom. Will we be getting a Moneybag soda flavor ranking? Awesome episode. I will tell you, I did try the blood orange. It's fucking great orange. And I love their root beer. I'm more partial to that. I think their root beer is just fan-fucking-tastic.
Yes, it is.
Thomas Miller says they are made in Niagara Falls area. This is from Canada. I met her in Niagara Falls. The root beer is great.
Oh, we have great soda.
I'm not even going to do that. We'll get in trouble.
I know.
Over on our Loudcasters group page, Charles, don't call me Mark Eaton, loved hearing a lot of Gene deep cuts get represented. Trial by Fire, Hell or High Water rules.
Yes.
Joe Decker says, okay, I was supposed to go see Ace Live next week, but after hearing the Spaceman can, I don't think I'll be able to stand there and watch him stumble through every song without hearing that in my head. Thanks, guys. And
we love just, to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, and just for you guys, who can take the sunshine? Who sprinkle it with dew? Cover it with chocolate and a miracle or two. The spaceman can. That'll be between Good Times, Bad Times from Led Zeppelin and that horrendous other cover song he does. What was that song he played at Creatures Fest? Everyone was like, what the fuck is that?
A lot of his cover songs are terrible.
Oh,
and I get yelled at because I say they're terrible.
Oh, fucking brutal.
What? Fox on the Run. What are you talking about? It's fucking great.
I had a hard time singing that because I had a cashew cut in one of my left tooth and I couldn't get it out. So I was like whistling when I was singing. But I don't remember the lyrics anyway. So
it's what happens when I go to Dollar General and buy those generic mixed nuts. It's not like those planets.
So I had to pull over to CVS. I ran over a curb and popped my tire. Oh, fuck. I'm going to be late to the show.
But the good thing is they got scotch tape at CVS.
That's why I was wandering the hallway of Creatures Fest at 2 in the morning. Patch up my tire with some scotch tape. Cameron Holiday wrote us a nice long, I mean, it's way too long, but awesome comment here on Shout It Out Loudcasters group page. Check it out. It's
yeah. I want to give a shout out to Cameron too. He sends us some nice DMs, some messages. So Cameron, thank you for that. We appreciate the interaction. So, you're a good fan and a good supporter of the show. We appreciate that very much.
Yes. We love our listeners and we're always praising them and thanking them kindly.
Except for when they're fucking idiots, then we just let you know about that very bluntly.
When they become turn into shitbags, they get to hear it from us. I'm sorry.
Hey, shitbag!
Sorry. That just threw me off.
Well, we got the giggles because we're recording this part right after we just finished with Craig, so we got a little loopy.
Yeah, exactly. Over on our Instagram, Junior Vintage. which is Mr. Antonio 2005. Great episode, TNZ. Not surprised there were so many 1980s jeans soon taken in the strap. Some faves for me are Only You, Saint and Sinner. Yeah, too good. I'm telling you, a lot of fucking good songs left on the table. P.S. In another life, could you ever imagine Sammy Davis Jr. singing Ace Frehley songs? I think Sammy would have a blast doing Speeding Back to My Baby, Dark Night, or Snowball. Hey, speeding back to my baby.
She told me to rip it out. I'm snow blind.
Don't touch me down there. All right, that's a Family Guy thing.
Okay, here we go.
Sever Hake. Disappointed that Hake Style didn't take Domino. My favorite. Now, I believe that's the better half of the Wallet. So Mrs. Wallet was upset that Mr. Wallet didn't take Domino. Yeah,
it is pretty amazing. It is pretty amazing that Betrayed got drafted and fucking Domino didn't.
Funny you say that, because the Wallet replied to her, "Sorry, I let you down. You ain't satisfied. I know you feel betrayed."
Ah, nice. We love Chris.
Yeah, you made some real big decisions. That's from History of the World. All right, over on our YouTube page, Chris Flood, who I hear is fucking filtered into other podcasts' comment pages about us.
Yep.
Pissing them off. Like, good, thanks. We didn't ask you, Chris, but all right, all the better. Great show. Phil Esposito and Ray Bourque, though the jabroni who picked Cadillac Dreams to the other Kiss podcast, that all have a slow adult. I say, hey, Larry. How do you like these nuts?
Man. Jesus Christ.
I think he's all over the place. He added like 15 one of our stories together into one comment.
A lot of people have been doing that lately, which is fine, I guess. It's like a greatest hits, I guess. It's okay.
That's the story of my friend tells of the 86 Celtics, where for some reason they were out of practice and Robert Parrish pulled out his ball bag and goes, "Hey, Larry, look at these nuts." I still nobody don't goes, believe that
story.
Go,
"Hey, Larry, look at these nuts.
Look at this." Fucking pulls out his ball bag. Why the fuck would he do that? I don't know. It's just surreal.
Larry.
Patrick 2420 says, "Anybody see Richie? Stay tuned for the end of the episode. We got a new ending. You'll like it." Chris Petty 931 says, "We need Sam Loomis updates." Yeah, that you can find that on other shows. No one fucking gives a shit. I don't want
to. Still a thing
like that. That's like that brings out the worst of the Kiss Army. That shit.
Yeah, dude. Like, I don't even think that's a thing anymore.
Yeah, and that's what I got, Tom. Over to you.
All right, let's bang out a couple emails here. We got one from Gino Dvoracek. Sounds like a guy from Sega NHL 94 that we used to play on the Winnipeg Jets or something. Zeus, I was listening to you saying how much you like Plasticaster, and I'm totally with you. It rocks. Gene sounds great on that song. The call and answer vocals are awesome and has a really cool solo. Before the album came out, I always wanted to see Gene's love, but never knew how to go about it. That's why it was so good to find out that, well, all I needed to do was just ask her. So not only is it a great song, but it really helped me out with that problem. I just thought I'd share it with you. Take care, Gino. Nice.
Sounds like Oleg Terbedosky from the Anaheim Ducks in the 90s.
Oh, there you go. Okay. Scott Greer. Great episode with the guys from Moneybags and the Gene Draft. One thing it's made me do is take a deeper dive into the catalog and give another listen to some songs. I also like short-tempered Tom and Zeus. I don't know if there's any other version of us, but go ahead. Your comments are funny and frankly honest. Reminds me of myself driving in traffic when I come across a lot of fucktards. These draft episodes are ones you can go back and refresh yourself on songs that you may not have listened to in a while. Keep them coming. Those boys at Moneybags are going to create a mellow yellow type drink asking for a friend.
Ah, yes. I love that.
Our good buddy AJ White, great episode, guys. Some amazing picks along with some very odd ones. You guys should get together again and draft the remaining songs. Pretty sure Saint and Sinner was the only one not picked from Creatures. Also, I think I may have brought up in the past, but I'm curious if you're holding out on doing an episode on Tom Snyder. Yes, we are.
We'll get to it. We just hit everything. There's a bunch of like TV clips of Kiss. And
oh, yeah.
We're trying to spread everything out.
That's right. Zeus, your Greek friend, Thanos Akritidis.
He's going to be in New York, Tom, for.
That's right.
He's one of the people in New York. Who's the other one that's going to definitely meet us in New York? Someone just recently told us and sent us a message.
I can't remember.
None of you guys keep telling us who's going to be in New York.
Yeah, we'll make a spreadsheet. Somebody asked us about a spreadsheet. We'll make one. Zeus loves spreadsheets.
You know what? Somebody make a post on Loudcasters. Just and create the post that says, who's going in New York? And then everybody just keep adding to it. And that's the best way.
Perfect. So Thanos says, rockin' show last week. I pretty much agree with you both on your choices. Zeus, I'm glad you picked Good Girl Gone Bad. Great tune. Yes, it is. Maybe I would have picked the Japan-only tune from his asshole solo album, which has great chorus and melody behind his Beatles-type vocals. Just a note to let you guys know that Sydney's show during the weekend was superb, really worked the crowd, and yes, Paul was into it. His vocals were a lot better than I was expecting. Yeah, of course they were. Making Love was a great addition to the set list, along with Colgin and Shandy. Hope to catch up with you in December. Keep up the good work. Thanos from Down Under. Yes. And one last email here. Another one from another Australian friend, John McDonald. I can tell you, as somebody who was at the AFL Grand Final in Melbourne, for what it was, the Kiss pregame show was awesome. As a Melbourne resident, my time as a Kiss fan goes back to the early 80s when Kiss had an unexpected renaissance in Australia. We didn't know at the time that they were on the outs in the States. They were the first band I ever got into, being around 7 years old at the time. It was also around this age that I first became a supporter of the Collingwood AFL Football Club that won the grand final this year. When I saw Kiss was doing it, I knew it had to be our year. Thanks for a great podcast. That's fantastic. Love that. Love hearing from the boys down under. We're going to wrap up feedback with a tweet from Sydney Blade. I listened to this episode while walking my dog with three recently broken ribs from a magpie attack here in Australia. Isn't that Heckle and Jekyll? During the ace bits at the beginning, the laughing hurt so much, I was doubled over in serious pain. My neighbors thought I had shat myself. Okay. Sydney Blade, I'm telling you, when you tell us stories like this, this is what we love. A, listening out in public. B, laughing. C, laughing so hard that you may shit yourself. So, Sydney, you have checked off some very important boxes for Shout It Out Loudcast, my friend. And for that, you are the comment of the week.
Good answer. Good answer. Like the way you think. I'm going to be watching you.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate that. That's awesome. However, we've been trying to, we forgot to tell this story when we first heard about it. Tom told me this story when we were going to that HorrorCon convention.
Yep.
I could not believe the story.
Yeah.
Check this out. Tom, go ahead. You're up.
Yeah. So my 80-year-old mom lives in Florida. She lives in like a big, like retirement community. There's a lot of outdoor restaurants, bars, places where people just hang out outside. So my mom, she loves to talk. She loves to butt into people's conversations and, oh, I see you're watching that. And I'm like, but anyways, that's how she is. So she's sitting outside in an outdoor dining area, you know, with one of her friends, and she looks over and there's a woman that she doesn't know who is just laughing, like sitting by herself and has her phone out in front of her. And of course, my mom, because she has to get into other people's business, she says, oh, I'm sorry, you know, I don't mean to interrupt and disturb your lunch, but I couldn't help it that you're laughing and it looks like you're watching or listening to something. I just was interested to see what you're laughing at because you seem like you're really having a good time. And the woman, again, you know, maybe a little bit younger than my mom, says, well, I'm just sitting here on my lunch break and I have my phone here and I'm listening to a podcast. And my mom's like, oh, well, do you mind me asking what you're listening to? And she's like, it's this crazy Kiss podcast. You know the band Kiss? It's called Shout It Out Loudcast. My mom looks at the woman and goes, you can't be serious. And the woman goes, why? She goes, that's my son you're listening to right now. and my mom goes, I don't. So the woman gets up, shows my mother her phone, and she's listening to Shout It Out Loudcast. And the small world that we live in ended up telling my mom that story.
Dude, that is
fucking insane. Insane.
And we forgot to tell people this story. Like, I still, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
My mother called me right when it happened. We were at, we were having lunch while we were at the HorrorCon with Jericho.
Yep.
And my mom very rarely calls me during the day of anything. So I pick it up. She's like, you're not going to believe this story. I'm like, oh, great. What? She told me, I'm like, did you get the woman's name? She's like, no, I'm sorry. I was so excited that I couldn't believe it. But anyways, we're reaching into the retirement communities now. And not to mention, this is my same mother who just went to see Kiss Alive, the tribute band. And I posted a picture of it on our social media. She said the show was amazing. So 80-year-old mom is rocking out to Kiss, and I fucking love it. Love it.
And if you're the lady that was laughing,
please,
listening to us, please send us a DM, a text,
email, something.
An email, contact us, DM us, whatever. We got to know who you are, because that is fucking unbelievable story.
An incredible story, yes. So that's just a little bit of fun right there.
Yeah. Tom, what we do next is we give a shout-out to our Patreon family. Patreon is where people can subscribe and monetarily help the show. You contribute to the show and it helps us tremendously. We in turn will have four tiers set up for you. You can join any one of those tiers depending on your monetary contribution. You get different perks. So some are contributing to the show, polls, sneak peeks, the album review crew, which they just picked the album that we're going to do for next month. Things like merch that we'll send out. All those things are stuff that we offer for you to join our Patreon family. In order to do so, go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Right on the landing page, icon says Patreon. Click on that. Or you can go to the app, Patreon. Or you can go to patreon.com and subscribe there. You look under creators, find Shout It Out Loudcast, and pick one of the four tiers. Guys, you want to help the show? Best way to do that is join Patreon. You won't be sorry. We have a family that's part of our Patreon group, and it's a lot of fun. And it's a way you can help us out as well. So please go to Patreon and subscribe. And we really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You Patreon guys, we love you so much. You're the lifeblood of the show. Our eternal gratitude to all the contributions that you guys make. So please, as Zeus mentioned, check us out. Click on the Patreon link on our website, download the app, or go to patreon.com.
Tom, what we do next is we go over to Kiss World. What's going on?
Yeah, so the big news this week was the cancellation of the Dubai show. You know, there hasn't been a specific statement, but I think it's obvious that due to the unrest and the disasters that are going on in the Middle East and Israel and et cetera, et cetera. So that show has been canceled. Unfortunate for the people in Dubai. Maybe now somebody else can go pick up the Dubai shit that you got 3 years ago. So that was canceled. Another thing, Zeus, that you discovered today was a lawsuit involving the band.
Yeah. I saw this on Blabbermouth, but they're saying according to Rolling Stone, Francis Stuber, I don't know how you pronounce his last name, Stuber, whatever.
Yep.
The longtime guitar tech of Paul's, who died in 2021 when he had COVID, filed a lawsuit. So the family of his filed a lawsuit for wrongful death against Kiss, Gene and Paul, Doc, Live Nation, and the Marriott International. They're all named as defendants.
Yep.
For wrongful death, they say they're, you know, lax COVID protocols, all that. I'm not going to fucking litigate this shit right now.
No.
But I made a comment myself. It'll probably settle out of court, PR reasons and nuisance reasons for lawsuits like this. But good God, if companies could get sued because people got COVID while working somewhere
forget
and they
it.
Died and they're suing everybody. I'm
forget
sorry.
It
was a pandemic. Everybody went out and did what they did at their own risk. Unless you knowingly had COVID and coughed on me for me to get it purposely. It's a pandemic.
Yep.
You know, it's sad that it's going to happen because from all my understanding was Paul was very close with him.
And very.
This is going to make things difficult. Just like the Carr family, when he passed, that they have, there's going to be this ooh kiss in the in that person, and they can't probably express themselves for losing a friend because there's litigation involved. And it's too bad. I'm sorry to see this, but again, my opinion, they'll settle it out of nuisance reasons.
Oh yeah.
And yep. PR reasons. But I don't think Kiss is responsible. If this went to court, they would win, in my opinion.
Yeah. Other stuff in the news, a recent announcement of another appearance by Peter Criss. He's going to be at Mad Monster Atlanta November 17th and 18th. He'll be doing photo ops, kind of like what he did, I think, at Creatures Fest. So that's kind of cool. So it's nice to see Peter out and about. He's obviously doing a couple things in New Jersey, and then you got this down in Atlanta right around the little bit before Thanksgiving. So that's cool to see Peter out and about. So always good to see Peter active and obviously healthy. So other than that, not too much. So a couple things going on there in Kiss World.
Yeah. So, Tom, what we're going to do is take a quick break. I'm going to tell Ace that it's really Gene that's going to come on our show. Hey, Gene. Hey, Gino, buddy. Can you hook me up with a couple bucks? I could use a break.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/Pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
All right, we're back, and Ace is still really having a difficult time believing that that was not Gene Simmons on the phone.
Guys, I'm telling you, I've worked with that guy for 40 years. I know that voice. That's him. I could tell you right now, it's him.
And Ace is looking for a new place to habitat, Tom, because his domicile was ripped out from your house, your tool shed, I believe, Tom. And well, you're putting a new home in there for Ace. A little.
That's right. That's right.
Tom, don't put a little bunk bed in underneath the desk like George Costanza did, you know, right there to make a nap.
He's going to love it. This is going to be luxury accommodations compared to what he had before. So yeah, as soon as it's all done and ready, I'll tell Ace he's got a place to stay.
Perfect. Hey, when I ordered Domino's and they leave me a couple slices, where can I tell him to go? Does he have a separate address?
Apartment B.
watch out for the shit on the grass. Oh, from Tom's dog, Scout? No, that wasn't Scout.
That's me. You accidentally locked the back door. Ace, that wasn't an accident.
Tom, you got to build a little porta potty in the corner too for me. Hook me up, please.
God. Anyway, Tom, we've been fans of Craig Gass for quite some time. All Kiss Army fans are friends of Craig Gass, the comedian, hilarious, who's been on, you know, TV shows, everything from like Sex and the City appearances. I think Kings of Queens. He's obviously known for being on the Howard Stern show, on the Kiss cruises. He does his incredible impressions that like Gene, Al Pacino, Christopher Walken. He is a fucking hilarious comedian. We've been friends with him quite some time. We were finally got our schedules connected to where we could get him on, and he has a great announcement to make. So, Craig Gass.
Yeah, it was great. We've been, again, trying to work this out. Sometimes it's difficult with somebody like Craig, who's got a lot going on, a busy schedule, traveling the country and everything, but we finally made it work. And we've been huge fans, and I'm just a sucker for impressions and a guy with just a crazy sense of humor. So we were looking forward to this, and we can't wait for you guys to hear it.
Without further ado, Craig Gass.
All right, this week it's been a long time coming, but we finally have him. Comedian extraordinaire and massive Kiss fan. And of course, if you're listening to this show, you know one of the big reasons why we have him, for those Gene and Paul impressions. The great Craig Gass joins us today. Craig, what's up, buddy? Thanks so much for joining us.
Excited to be here, man. I got a lot to talk to you guys about. Oh, holy
good.
Shit.
Good, good. I mean, now, if you want to do the entire show as Paul or Gene, you could do that. You don't have to, but we'll get into that, of course.
You know, the great thing about being on the podcast is some people like steak and some people like ice cream. But you don't have steak with ice cream, and that's why Kiss is so great. What the fuck?
That's actually Paul's favorite quote that I have about Gene. It is a weird, I cannot tell you how surreal it is to be a fan.
Yeah.
Be a fan of somebody, and this has happened with more people than just Kiss.
Yeah.
But to be a fan of somebody to where you emulate, for me, Paul and Gene, confidence. They just had this confidence. They just like, God, they're so cool. They're so confident. I wish I was confident like them. And then I start doing impressions of them, and the impressions get to them. And then they start reaching out to me. It's such a surreal thing.
Mm-hmm.
That a few years ago, I woke up like 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. I always put my phone on the bed with me.
Mm-hmm.
My phone's vibrating, and I look, and it's Paul Stanley calling me, and I go, "Holy shit! What did I do? Like I must have done something wrong." So I don't pick up. He calls again 5 minutes later, and I go, fuck, he's pissed. He's going to, oh my God, what did I do? What did I do? And I just start pacing around my room saying, like, I'm just rehearsing. Paul, that was a long time ago. I'm a different person now. That's what I started rehearsing in my head.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he calls again, and I don't pick up. And this is like 3 calls in like 20 minutes. And then he sends a text, Craig, it's Paul Stanley. I'm trying to call you. And I keep rehearsing. And then I finally call him, and he picks up, and he goes, hey, Craig. And I go, hey, Paul, what's going on, buddy? And he goes, nothing. How you doing? And I go, I'm good. What's going on with you? And he goes,
you know, I have a friend of mine who got Morgan Freeman to do his voicemail. And, you know, it sounds so cool. And I just thought, you do so many good impressions that I would just love to have you do like maybe an Al Pacino or something for my voicemail. I mean, is that something you'd be okay with? And I went,
oh my God,
that's literally how I spend all my free time. Yeah. What do you want me to do? And he goes, just do like I just pictured as like scent of a woman. Just, you know, just leave a voicemail like that. And I said, yeah, that's it. Okay. And he goes, yeah, is that okay? And I was like, yeah, that's fine. And I recorded a voicemail as Al Pacino saying, hi, this is Al Pacino. You've reached the voicemail for the Star Child. Leave a message and get to the point. Nobody likes to hear you ramble on and on. If you ramble, I know where you live. I'm coming to your house, and I'm taking a flamethrower to that motherfucker. And then I sent it with a text that said, let me know if you have any notes. He texted me right back and said, yeah, I have some notes. And I was like, oh, what?
I said, no.
He said, why are you cursing? And I go, oh, I thought like Al Pacino. And he goes, no, he goes, do it and don't curse. And I go, all right. So Jesus. I did it again.
Wow.
I did it again. And if you think about it, Paul never curses on stage.
Not anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So I send him back the, except for the like, hey, the laser pointer. Yeah. I'll shove it up your ass. So, yeah. But, so I do it again. PG, no cursing. And he goes, I love it. And I go, oh man, thank you so much. And then his next text was, you want to do the Kiss cruise with us? And I said, I would love to. And 2 days later, I got an offer to do that Kiss Cruise 10. So
holy shit. That was our first cruise was Kiss Cruise 10.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. You know what you should have done? You should have said to him, Paul, that'll be $450.
Yeah. Dude, that guy, I mean, we got a lot to like backtrack on and explain everything.
Oh, yeah, we would.
But that guy has been so nice to me, getting me every time I go to a Kiss show, anything you need, I'll bring comedians with me and I'll hang out. They'll get me in the show for free. I perform with Kiss. I owe that band a car at this point for all the all the shows they let me go to. And the whole reason I'm on with you guys is to promote the craziest idea, which is I'm going to do in three cities where Kiss is performing. I'm going to do a full comedy show about Kiss. The entire beginning to end is essentially what I've done the Kiss Cruise. When I go on the Kiss Cruises, I end up doing two separate hours of comedy about Kiss and all my run-ins with Kiss over the years. So two separate hours. So in Seattle, Austin, and New York. The order is actually going to go Austin, then Seattle a week later, and then New York a month later for the final shows in New York.
We'll be there. We'll be there for both shows.
Is that right?
We're going to be in New York City December 1 and December 2. Yeah, we're going to be in New York City for that entire weekend.
Wow. So in New York City, I'm doing November 30th and December 3rd. I'm doing the night before the final shows and the night after the final shows. And I mentioned it once on Eddie Trunk last week.
Yep.
And just mentioning it once, like this buzz started and I started getting text messages from musicians who wanted to see the show. Obvious musicians texted me about coming to the shows in New York.
What's that mean, obvious? What do you mean?
Oh, my God. I want to be able to say it, but I don't want people to come to see them, but it's obvious. And then I started getting text messages from musician friends of mine in Seattle, and it just made sense to do one in Seattle, too, because I have a ton of musician friends in Seattle. By the way, Mike MacReady, who is Mike's on my comedy special. He shows up on my comedy special.
Love that
and guy. Mike is a huge Kiss fan.
Oh yeah, he loves Ace.
We know that.
Yeah,
and he. I remember going to a sound check for Pearl Jam once, and Mike goes, "Hey, you got a. This is my drummer Matt. He's got a Kiss story for you." According to Matt Cameron. According to Mike, Pearl Jam talks about Kiss at least once a day. He said, "I swear, it's at least once a day the subject of Kiss comes up." And he said, "You got to hear this story from Matt." And Matt said that when he was 15 years old, he was in a Kiss cover band in Seattle.
Wow.
They called themselves Kiss. That was they used the logo and apparently once a month.
What the fuck?
Once a month they would do shows at friends' houses and they would put flyers around the school. Like this Friday at Zeus's house. 8 p.m. Kiss and the Kiss logo and here's Zeus's address and so they would do that once a month and he gets a letter in the mail. Matt Cameron gets a letter in the mail.
I can imagine.
From Casablanca Records, and Matt at 15 years old goes, "Holy shit, we're getting signed. We're getting signed. We're getting signed." And he calls all the other guys from the Kiss cover band. He goes, "I'm not opening it until you guys get here. Everybody get, we'll open it up together. I think we're getting signed. I think we're getting signed." All the kids get together at his house, and a bunch of 15-year-olds open up a letter that turns out to be a cease and desist. Yeah. They were 15 years old. I love that story.
That's fantastic. Holy
That's
shit.
Fucking great. Yeah, That's we know amazing. Mike MacReady is a lot of those guys, and we know the whole thing between Alive and the solo and all that stuff is very Kiss-oriented, and Mike MacReady is just a favorite of ours.
Favorite of ours, absolutely.
Yeah, we were in college when Pearl Jam exploded and all that stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. So we kind of treaded that line between the hair metal stuff and the grunge. Mm-hmm. Grunge is more college, hair metal is in high school. Love that shit. It's fucking great. But Kiss was the common theme for all that. And that's where we met in college. And
that's
that
right.
Kiss love where everybody is. This is before the makeup came on because we were in college 91 to 95. Before
that's right.
the makeup. And we dressed this Kiss as Halloween in like 94.
Yeah, we did. We had me, Zeus, our buddy Murph, another, this was like, this was the fall Halloween of 94. So the reunion hadn't happened. Kiss wasn't even on anybody's radar. They had a huge campus Halloween party at the sports complex. The four of us walk in thinking we're like the coolest people in the thing. Everybody's like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Why are you dressed up as Kiss?
Look at the tards that came in dressed like, up as the band Kiss.
Why are you dressed as them with makeup? Nobody pays attention to them. We're like, oh shit. Like, oh, come on.
This didn't work out. It's cool.
Yeah.
Hilarious. When I first got into them at 13, 14 years old, Lick It Up came out.
Okay.
And that's when I first, like, as a kid, I collected their trading cards.
Oh, yeah. Us too.
As a kid growing up in New York in the 70s. And so did my sister, by the way. And my sister, I don't know if you know this, my whole family is deaf. My mom, my dad, and my sister are all deaf.
Yes.
So my sister and I were caught up in the imagery and we didn't know what they sounded like. We just loved the imagery and we did the Kiss trading cards. I couldn't tell you what a single song of theirs was. And then in 83, I'm 13 years old. And Lick It Up comes out and I'm a huge fan. I don't get to see them live until Animalized. And that was the best show I'd ever seen. And that was without the makeup.
Right. Yeah.
And so I became more and more of a fan over time. And then, and then of course doing the impression, which it's such a weird thing. Like I started auditioning to be Howard Stern's sidekick. Like I started working with Howard in mid-90s. And I started doing voices on his show where I would the first voice I started doing on the show was this really, really dark piece of comedy that was Sam Kinison calling live from the gates of hell.
And I think I that's when I first heard, because I used to be obsessed with Howard in the 90s and late 90s into the early 2000s. And that's where I remember first hearing you. But go ahead.
Well, what we would do is anytime a bad person died, like someone that we could all agree, all of us would agree. All right. Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
Bad person. Oh, okay. You know? And when he died, I think I was the only person in America that was writing jokes and then going on the next morning as Sam Kinison calling in live from the gates of hell going, hey, guys, it's Sam Kinison. I'm down here in hell. And Jeffrey Dahmer just got down here. And this guy's already looking at my ass like it's a T-bone. Oh! It was just really, really dark. And then I started doing more voices, and I started doing Dennis Miller, and then Sam Kinison, and I started doing Al Pacino had a baby, and I started doing this really silly idea where we would have conversations with Al Pacino's baby, where Howard would go, man, you're Al Pacino's baby. What do you like to do for fun?
What do I like to do? I like to pee. You like to pee? I love to pee and suck titties.
It was really stupid. And then in 2001, 2001, Jackie Martling quit the show. And I got a call that day from Gary Del Abate saying, hey, Craig, give me a call. I want to talk to you about something. And I called Gary, and Gary asked me if I'd like to audition for 2 days. And that 2 day audition turned into 2 days a week, every week for the next 10 months or so. And somewhere along the way, I would tell Howard about my favorite music and about Kiss. And I would tell him how incredible Gene Simmons and Paul Stanley are in interviews. And Howard insisted that we talk about it on the air. And then Gene Simmons became a full-blown character on the show where every time we'd have a music guest in the studio, I would constantly interrupt the music guest as Gene Simmons and try to sell them shitty Kiss products. And it was just whoever came in, that's a great story, Paul McCartney. But did you know right now at KissOnline.com, we have the new Kiss toilet. Now you might be asking yourself, what's the difference between a regular toilet and a Kiss toilet? Well, our toilet is a pay toilet. You put in a quarter and you do your business while you listen to Deuce. It was so dumb. Like everything I said was ridiculous. And then, and it was all silly. And there's something about just being in a situation like this where you're just making two or three people laugh that you just think, oh, this is fun. And you don't think about anybody listening. But not only were people listening to it on the Howard Stern show, we found out later that the real Gene Simmons actually started getting hate mail because of the shit I was saying on the air. Yeah. So Gene Simmons shows up, confronts me on the air, and then we're off to the races, because then I get a phone call. Somebody from that worked with Kiss said, hey, I just want to let you know that our singer, Paul Stanley, is your biggest fan. And I went, Paul Stanley knows who I am. And the guy goes, don't tell anybody this, but Paul Stanley loves when anybody makes fun of Gene Simmons.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
You find out over time they love to rib each other. And then somehow I ended up right in the middle of it and getting opportunities, because they laughed at themselves so much that they allowed me to come in and be a part of that and laugh at them and with them. So that's, yeah. So it's fucking crazy, but the shows, it's front to back is just going to be all Kiss material. Austin is at the end of October, October 28th, I believe. Seattle is Sunday, November 5th. And then New York is the night before and the night after the final shows. And all the info is at getgas.com, getgas with two S's.com.
Does the band know about this? Do you still have any kind of relationship with Paul or Gene? Like right now, I know they're wrapping up the end of the road tour and they've been traveling the world, obviously, but.
Well, it's weird. Like I text Paul from time to time. And what's crazy is he always texts me right back.
Okay.
Wow. In fact,
I
don't know if I should do this, but
yes, you
do
should. It. Yes, you do should.
It. I got it. One of the craziest things was his response to something that I sent him. I was telling him that I'm back on the Howard Stern Show again for the first time in 20 years. I'm back on the Howard Stern Show.
Yep.
And he said, oh, that's great. And I go, yeah, I'm doing impressions and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, I know one impression you can't do, because he hates my impression of him.
Of course he does.
And then I always do the thing on stage where he goes, people.
Yeah.
And he sent me this text that just said, people. And then I reply, and he sent me a GIF of himself. He sent me, and I was like, dude, that is spot on. He sent me a GIF of himself. Is it GIF? GIF?
GIF, yeah. I think. But it's that's amazing, huh?
Yeah.
You can do it for yourself. Like, you have your own GIF. Here you go.
The guy has such a great sense of humor about himself. I love him for that. And it's interesting. As they wind down, it's they're ready to wrap it all up. I mean, it sounds like they're not gonna do any Kiss cruises anymore. Although the idea was to do Kiss cruises with Paul's solo band, Soul Station.
Yeah,
and
yep, that was band. Gene's band. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're done with that. But it's crazy. It's crazy.
Did you hear that specifically from them that they're done with the cruise? Or like
from people that work with them. What I've heard from people that work with them, there was an idea of continuing. I'd heard rumors that there was offers for residencies after everything's done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And apparently in the last couple months with David Coverdale, Bruce Springsteen, Steven Tyler, and all these people going down.
Yeah.
That it's affected the mood to change to, no, you know what? Let's end it right here. Well, December 1st and 2nd, and that's it. So
interesting.
Yeah, and so when I heard that, thinking, God, I have all this Kiss material that I usually do with them.
Yeah.
When I go on the Kiss cruises every couple of years, I just thought I'll go to some of those cities where Kiss is performing, and I'll do those hour shows in those cities. So,
yeah. Now, it's funny, because one of the things that we like to do on this show, and people like the show for, is I do a lot of Ace impressions. I am shocked that you don't do Ace. He is the easiest guy to do. Hey, Gina, I sound like they have Gina on the show here. Hey, Gina, can you hook me up with a couple bucks? I want to get some cashews down the street.
You know what's funny is I know people who do great Ace impressions like you're doing, and that's why I've never done it, because so many people I know do impressions of him. It's I like to go where nobody else goes.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kinnison or voices that I'm doing now on a certain show, like Tom Arnold. I like to go to places nobody else goes.
Yeah.
And I've heard people do an amazing Ace. So I don't touch it, but I know
he's so funny. Like, stories. Yeah, he is. He's so weird. Everybody likes to do it, but I've never heard a professional comedian do it. And the thing about Ace is he's so fucking space brain. Like, he's out there. You could think of the most outrageous, stupid shit to say.
And which is what we do half of our show.
Which is always like, I have this running gag. I don't know why. And we're fans of the band and Ace, but I always like to say that Ace shits his pants. Oh, fuck. I ate too much of those burritos. I fucking shit my pants again. Oh, hey. Was my girlfriend around? I need to change my underwear.
That guy, he did a show at BB King's, and a friend of mine was working with him. So I came by during the day, and I grabbed my buddy, and I turned him on to some pizza in New York. And he says to me when we come back, he goes, hey, let me introduce you to Ace. And I go, all right. And he walks me in this room. There's Ace, and he goes, Ace, this is my friend Craig Guess. He's a stand-up comedian. He's been on, you know, whatever. TV shows. And he goes, this is Craig Guest, stand-up comedian. Ace goes, oh, I love stand-up comics. And I go, yeah, it was like, yeah, I'm Craig. And then we just kind of stood there in silence. And I went,
that's exciting.
Well, nice to meet you. And I, you know, I didn't want to bother him. So I walk away. The show happens later that night. And I see comedian Jim Norton in the crowd.
Yeah.
I've seen him in concert. Yep.
And so I end up hanging out with Jim for the rest of the show. And afterwards, he goes, hey, you want to go meet Ace? And I go, oh, I met him before the show. And he goes, oh, come with me because he loves me. And I go, all right. Oh, God. So I go into the dressing room with Jim Norton. And he goes, Jimmy! And he gives Jimmy a big hug. And Jimmy goes, hey, Ace, what's going on? Hey, this is my friend Craig Guest. He's a stand-up comic, too. And Ace looks at me and goes, oh, I love stand-up comics. And I went, what? And I go, yeah, I'm a comedian and... All right, nice. It was the same conversation.
Same exact thing.
5 hours apart. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's it. I'm telling you, if you're doing the Kiss shows, really consider it. Fucking add Ace because the voice is not difficult, and you can come up with the most outrageous shit, and it'll
work. I have one of the greatest Ace stories of all time that I'm laying out on these shows.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to tell you that one, but I will tell you that I told the story last week on Eddie Trunk's show that a buddy of mine who works with Kiss was talking about when they reunited the band in 95 to do the makeup tour, that Ace showed up at a sound check with his fiance and he walked up to this guy who is a crew guy for the band. And he goes, hey, Paul, this is my fiance. What's her name? And she punched him. She punched him in the arm. Like, he genuinely spaced on his fiance's name. Like,
I believe it.
God, I love that. I love that story.
And then you can also do an angry Peter Chris. That's the other one we do on the show. Hey, fucko. Why ain't I on the fucking billing here?
Yeah.
Where's my fucking pitch? Always angry. Always
bitching. Angry Peter. Although nowadays, he's the nicest, kindest out of all of them.
But he calls everybody fucko.
Oh, yeah.
That's is that right?
Hey, fucko.
You know what? I've met him like in passing in a peripheral way, and he's always been nice to me.
Yeah, he is.
Sweetheart.
There's so many musicians who have amazing stories about those guys. And one of the most incredible is Frank Bello from Anthrax has a series of stories where as a child, they would they'd read the liner notes and they'd see album recorded at Electric Lady. They would look up the address and go to the studios and try to meet them. And they met them several times. And his buddy would secretly audio record their interactions with the band yelling at him. And apparently one of the guys in Kiss actually slapped this kid. I think Ace slapped Frank's buddy. And they have it on a cassette. They actually have this little kid like, get the fuck out of here. And this kid goes, you smacked me. You smacked me. You just smacked me. That's incredible.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
So if people don't know who are listening, so you were part of the absolutely insane Gene Simmons roast back in, what was that, 2015 or something like that? The Gene Simmons, the roast?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Something like that. So watching old clips of that, not only Gene and Shannon, but everybody, they were dying. Gene was in hysterics when you were up there doing your bit with him. It was incredible.
Well, I had been doing that impression for a few years on the Howard Stern show.
Yeah.
And when they booked the roast, it was going to be my first time doing it to his face.
Right.
And so okay. I was really scared about that. And then plus also with the roast, when you do a roast, man, roasts are so scary because you only get one shot to do it. You can't rehearse the material. You can't like go to a club and work on it and see how it goes over. Like you only get one shot because you can't go into a club and go, all right, so pretend that there's a guy named Zeus over here to my left. And then over here to my right is Carrot Top. And then Lisa Lampanelli and Dice are behind me. Like you can't, you just get that one shot.
Yeah.
And it connected. Everything just clicked. And Gene sent me a gift afterwards. It's just surreal to do an impression to somebody's face. And then, of course, everyone that's related to Kiss starts coming out of the woodwork, which is what's happening right now from musicians and employees and former employees of Kiss who want to come out to these shows that I'm doing. Is everybody sharing their stories. Sebastian Bach has the greatest story about going to Gene Simmons' house and he goes, dude, that fucking guy has a fucking Kiss museum in his fucking house, which was true. He used to have this room that had every piece of merchandise ever dedicated to Kiss in this room. And Sebastian said he walks in and goes, I walked in, there's like a bag with like 100 Kiss cell phone covers. And I was like, dude, what the fuck is that? And Gene goes, that's our new promotion for Kissmas. That's our new Kiss cell phone covers. Can I have one of those? I wish I could, but if you go to kissonline.com. And he wouldn't give him one piece of plastic. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah,
that is one of many, many stories that you'll be hearing at these shows that I'm doing. Yeah, but yeah, it's crazy how many people came out of the woodwork. But talking about the roasts are frightening.
I would think so, yeah.
There were jokes that were cut out that really? Never made it to the...
Really?
Yeah. There were jokes about Gene's hair that never made it to the final cut. There was Lisa Lampanelli, first words out of her mouth were, Gene Simmons, I've seen better rugs in rapist vans. And I was like, oh my God, that was her first line of the night. And that got cut. Yeah.
Yikes.
That's right. Yeah. But that night, being able to do that, to Gene's face, and he couldn't have been nicer. By the way, his kid Nick,
yeah,
comes to the Comedy Store all the time, and Nick has told me, you know, when you started doing that impression of my dad, like you did it right when my dad started laughing at himself. If you would have come out with that impression like even a few years earlier, like my dad's attitude was just different. He would have just tracked you down and beat the shit out of you. But right when you started doing the impression, like, the way you did the impression, he knew that you were a fan, and he just laughed at it. He was laughing at himself at that point. He started doing a TV show where he was poking fun at himself.
Right, exactly, yeah.
But so I lucked out with that. By the way, his son, like his dad, lots of beautiful women around. Man.
Oh, Nick, I'm sure.
Nick's he's a good-looking handsome, kid.
Yeah. He's a good-looking kid. Yeah. He's a good-looking kid. He's 6'6".
Yep.
And he came out to the Comedy Store one night. And he had this girl, she must have been like 21, 22 years old. And he goes, oh my God, so this is Craig. Craig does an impression of my dad. And Craig, he does impressions. Craig, do Christopher Walken for her right now. And I go, hold up. Do you know who Christopher Walken is? And she goes, no. And I go, and Nick's like, Nick goes, no, you'll know. As soon as you hear the voice, you'll know, just do it, just do it. She'll love it, she'll love it. And I was like, listen. I don't even know if you know who this guy is, but he talks really weird. And every once in a while, he says the word cowbell, pow. And this girl goes, good for you. And I was like, Nick, you fucking asshole. You fucking asshole. You just made me look like, and I knew I was going to look stupid in this situation.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. That's
fucking
nice.
Funny. Yeah, I'll never forget. I mean, I watch it. My brother, who's not a big Kiss fan at all, like quotes that fucking roast.
Oh, it's awesome.
Constantly, and yours when you were doing the Al Pacino. Well, I don't know. There was some word in there about like some phrase of like, yeah, it's something for retards.
Yeah, the oh God, it was poetry.
Oh, you were talking about lyrics from Animal Eyes.
Yeah, it was
from the book of Animal Eyes.
Yeah, from the book of Animal Eyes.
That's right.
Yeah, you said it's like something that's like Shakespeare for retards or something like that.
It's so frightening to look somebody in the eye and do those jokes to their face. I did a roast of Corey Taylor, and my worst jokes were about Zach Wilde. And they put me right next to Zach Wilde. They seated me right next to him. And one of my jokes was something about, you used to be such a pretty boy. Now you look like a Hell's Angels butt-fucked Harry and the Hendersons. It was something about a bunch of hairy people all butt-fucking each other. And then when I sat down, Zach was laughing his ass off. And he was laughing and enjoying himself so much that he just kept punching me in the arm. Like, that's funny, brother. That's funny. You know, it's like,
Zach, I get it.
You got to stop liking me. You have to stop liking me because this is physically hurting me. Yeah. It's amazing.
I remember that one. I think someone had said something like, new Zach looks like the guy would fuck the old Zach in prison. Yeah. He's like the pretty boy. Something like that.
Yes.
He's like the guy who would get raped in prison by new Zach.
And that's a bummer to be a fan, but have to think of ways to insult somebody that you're a fan of. I mean, I'm the biggest Anthrax fan.
Yeah.
And Scott Ian and I have done a couple of roasts together. And some of my best jokes have been about, and he knows I will hit him up at least once or twice a year begging to get into an Anthrax show.
Yep.
And I said something about Anthrax. What a great name for a band that makes everybody fucking sick.
Oh, God.
If someone comes to your house to a party and says, I brought some Anthrax, you hope they're talking about the disease. Like, all the jokes I had was about how shitty the band was. And Scott's like, what the? And I go, it's a roast. I got to say something. It's a roast, you know? Jamie Josta, who's one of the nicest guys on the planet, he was on the, I think he was on the Corey Taylor roast. And love that band, Hatebreed. And I said, Hatebreed, a lot of people believe that Hatebreed is a white supremacist band. I've listened to Hatebreed, and I can confirm, not only are they not a white supremacist band, they're not even a music supremacist band. Like, it's just, that's what you have to do. You got to shit on your friends.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
but definitely. I also heard, and I asked our good friend there, well, what do I usually call her? Courtney Cronin, Tweed Simmons, fucking Kulik Lane, Tim Scott, Michael Scott, Dole, whatever the fuck her name is.
Everybody loves Courtney.
Oh, yeah. She's the best, of course.
I remember Lita Ford being on one of these.
Yep.
And was fucking ripped apart. And she looked like she had no idea it was coming, like got really fucking upset about it. It didn't get what was going on.
You can see it. At the very beginning of my segment of that was the roast of Dee Snider. I'm on the other side of the stage, and the jokes, like, you know, look, it's a roast, man. It's you know, when you're sitting on that stage, yeah, you've got jokes and you're prepared to attack everybody, but you know that you're standing on the stage with everybody and you're going to get attacked too. So you have to laugh along with it. And my whole family's deaf. So I got a big target on my back where, you know, you'll hear someone go, man, I don't know if you guys know this, but Craig's whole family is deaf. And I'll already start laughing and going, ha, ha, this doesn't hurt my feelings at all. You know, but you know that the jokes are going to be ruthless, and they're jokes.
Yeah.
You can see on the other side of the stage that Lita was not having it. I could see her body language. Found out later that right before I walked out, Scott Ian said that Lita goes, I'm just going to leave. And he goes, no, don't leave. And she's like, no, I wasn't prepared for this. Meanwhile, she was shown hours and hours of roast videos where she knew exactly what this was going to be. And for some reason, she still didn't understand that they were going to make jokes about her. So when I walk out, and again, you can see this, look up my segment of the Dee Snider roast. I said, first of all, how about a hand for Lita Ford? And everyone like, yeah. And I go, she still looks fucking hot. And she does. Everyone's like, yeah. And I said, Lita, by the way, in the 80s, fucked every major rock star on the planet. And she was like, goddamn right. And everyone goes, yeah. And I go, you think at least one of them would have helped her with her career? And you could see the look on her face of like, and it's like, but that's what this is. It's a roast. Yeah, dude, let me tell you something. at the roast of this is brutal. This is really brutal.
Go ahead.
Do you guys know who Lon Friend is?
Lon Friend, no.
Lon Friend was the editor of Rip Magazine, one of the biggest hard rock, heavy metal magazines from the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
But Lon Friend, not the kind of personality you would think running a heavy metal hard rock magazine. He is a soft-spoken, gentle, sweetest guy on the planet. And he actually has the soul of like a 60s poet. He's just a genuinely peaceful, sweet guy. And when we did the roast of Gene Simmons, I put a bunch of musicians on my guest list, and you can see him in the audience. And Lon Friend is one of the people I put on my guest list. Lon comes up to me before the taping and goes, "Hey, Craig, hey, question, is anyone going to say something nice about Kevin Dubrow?" Because the day that we taped the Gene Simmons roast, the news was breaking. The news was breaking. Kevin Dubrow's body has been found. He's dead in his house for over a week, 2 weeks. They found his body in his house. And Lon Friend says, "Hey, is someone going to say something nice?" And I go, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "Well, because everyone in this room, these are all of Kevin's friends. Is anyone going to say something nice about Kevin's passing?" And I said, "Well, I mean, it's a roast. This isn't a place where you say nice things, Lon, you know?" Sure enough, and I had no idea this was going to happen, the first line of the roast was Jeff Ross goes, "Welcome to the roast of Gene Simmons. Kevin Dubrow wanted to be here, but he took the easy way out."
Oh, Jesus Christ.
In the front row, Lon Friend went, "What the fuck?" Like, it was like, "Lon, we're at a roast, man. No holds barred. This is
fucking brutal."
It was, I mean, that's comedians for you. Comedians are able to laugh at shit in real time.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and when – I mean, listen, growing up in a deaf family, I learned that it's healthy to laugh at everything. So, sorry to interrupt you, Zeus.
No.
What we were going to – I wanted to ask you about, and we talked about a little bit before the air – we got on the air, is I want to ask you the questions we usually ask all our guests here, and you said you were looking forward to answering this. Mm-hmm. And that is our Murph questions, which are like just five easy questions about KISS.
Okay.
And I probably should have got to the beginning, but we just got off on a roll.
We got going. Yeah.
So first thing is real easy. Now, when I ask this, it can be right now. It could be growing up. It could be whatever. And that is, who's your favorite KISS member?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a tie between Paul and Gene, because not just for their musical abilities, but as people, how nice they've been to me. Tommy and Eric and those guys have always been really great to me too. But considering what I've been doing, you know, like Paul Stanley and I coincidentally ended up at this charity event together in Detroit. Paul zoomed in and I was there in person, and there was like celebrities zooming in all day long for this amazing charity event that they do for this guy, Mitch Albom.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. The Michigan writer,
the author, right?
The author. Yep. He's written some best-selling books, and he's a really popular sports writer, radio personality up in Detroit. And so anybody who zooms in that I know anything about, I'll tell Mitch like, "Hey, I got a story about this guy, or we did a show together or whatever." Paul Stanley's about to zoom in, and I go, two things about Paul Stanley. Number one, I'm on his voicemail. I am doing Al Pacino on his outgoing voicemail. He loves my impressions. And number two, Paul hates my impression of him. And so when Paul comes on, they go, "Paul Stanley, guess who we have here? Do you know this guy, comedian Craig Gass?" And he goes, "Yeah, he does great impressions. But have you heard him do my impression?" And everyone freezes, and he goes, "Craig, do your impression of me." And I go, "Hey, everybody, this is Paul Stanley." And he goes, "You make me sound like I own a hair salon in Long Island." And I was like, "Oh, my God."
What
a great premise to have the Paul Stanley hair salon. Like, come on in. I'll give you a blowout. Come on in. Have a seat. I'll give you a blowout. Welcome to Kiss Town. Like, yeah, I think that's amazing. So tie between Paul and Gene. That's a long-winded answer. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
It's all good. Do you have a favorite KISS song? And it could be, again, growing up, right now, last week, whatever.
I have two favorite Kiss songs, which brings up a funny memory.
Okay.
John Five, who's playing guitar now, Motley Crue.
Yep.
I ran into him at, he does, he has an Instagram page called Knights in Satan Service.
Yep.
And it's just all things Kiss. And I see John, we ran into each other at a concert, and John goes, "Hey, do you mind? I have this page called Knight and Satan Service, and I just ask people like a question of the week about Kiss. And this week's question is, what's your favorite Kiss song? Do you mind if I do a thing with you and film it for my Instagram?" I said, "Of course." And he goes, "All right, let's do it right now." He goes, "Are you ready?" And I go, "Yeah, let's do it." "Are you ready? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's comedian Craig Gass here. You might want to Google that. I am a massive Kiss fan, and I actually have two songs that are a tie for my favorite Kiss songs of all time. All Hell's Breaking Loose and Unholy. Both songs, coincidentally, written by the same person, Vinnie Vincent, which is why I now own a long line of women's leisure suits." And he went, "Oh, you can't say that. You can't say that." And I was like, "No, that's great." He goes, "No, you can't." He goes, "We got to redo that. We got to redo that." And I was like, "Dude, it's a funny joke." He's like, "No, we got to redo." And I was like, "Man, that is a funny." And he made me redo it. So, but that is the answer. All Hell's Breaking Loose. I always love that song. I always love that.
Oh, yeah. Same here. Yep. One of my favorites. Fucking kick-ass riff.
Yep.
This street hustler comes up to me. He looks me up and he looks me down. He says, "Hey, what be this and what be that? Why you got to look like that?" I said, "Hey, man, I am cool. I am the breeze." Pow. Yeah.
And then the timing of Unholy is what makes Unholy so powerful.
Yeah.
The fact that they were that many years into their career and came out with this unbelievably hostile song was just so impressive. Yeah. I love that song. That's one of my favorite songs of all time is Unholy. Love it.
Oh, that's Tom in Revenge.
That's me right there. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fantastic. Funny story. I'll cut real quick. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we had the great Carmine Appice on once.
Mm-hmm. Oh God!
And we did the same thing. Like, you played with Vinnie Vincent, and he's just like so old school. Doesn't even realize. Yeah, he's a good guy. Then he became weird. I don't know. I always thought he was a. I didn't know he was a fucking transvestite. Fuck he is.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, during the interview, he says a couple things about like Rod Stewart or Jeff Beck. He calls, writes back. He's like, "Hey, can you take out that stuff I said about Jeff Beck and Rod?" Like,
not the stuff about Vinny. Not the stuff about Vinny.
I'm like, Jeff Beck and Rod Stewart are not listening to us. And fucking, I can't have you say I thought the guy was just. But now he's like,
When I first started doing stand-up, the first big comedian I ever opened for was Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just still to this day one of the nicest, most amazing guys who will answer any question, it seems like, very candidly, it feels like. And I say that because I was working on this radio show in Seattle, KISW, Bob Rivers Twisted Radio, and Tommy came in as a guest to promote the shows. And who's the girl that wrote You're So Vain? Carol?
Carol King? Big Mouth.
No, Carly Simon?
Simon.
Oh, is it Carly Simon? No, wait, Carol, Simon. But Carol King is the piano player, right?
Carol King is the songwriter that wrote a
songwriter,
lot of
songwriter, and yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Carly Simon sang it, yeah.
I'm just trying to make sure I got this story right. So
okay.
Tommy Chong comes in and starts talking about Cheech and Chong and... questions are coming up. I didn't even know were part of their history. Someone said, "Is it true that one of the Beatles played on a Cheech and Chong song that is not credited?" And he said, "Yes, George Harrison plays on Basketball Jones." And then he stops and says, "And George is he was a big doper, like to smoke a lot of dope, you know." And they go, "Wow!" And then we start talking about. When they were at the height of their fame, all the people like to hang out with them. He goes, "Oh yeah, like the Lakers, you know, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's big doper, big doper." And then when we asked about the Beatles and about who else played on their albums, he goes, "Yeah, a lot of famous people played. Carole King was on the album." And there was a long pause, and someone goes, "And was she a big doper?" And he goes, "No. She sucked a good dick though." And I was like, "Oh my god! Like what the?" You can't say that. Like, holy shit. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes those old timers, they don't have the filter.
No filter. No.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. I love it. Of course.
All right. So we got your songs. What about an album? Do you have a favorite album?
Oh, wow. Jesus. I mean, I'm leaning towards Kiss Alive. If I'm going to put a Kiss album in that I'm going to listen to beginning to end, it will be a greatest hits. So I can go through. But Kiss Alive for just as an album, I'm going to say Kiss Alive.
Okay.
My favorite album.
Now, you played with Kiss on the cruise. Besides that,
yeah.
How many concerts have you seen of Kiss? Do you know?
Oh, wow. Over 20 shows. Easily over 20. Probably closer to 30. And again, what's interesting now is that when I go to the shows, they'll take care of it. You know, first it was Gene. Because Gene and I started having these confrontations on the air.
We know.
And you can see them on YouTube. He'd come in and he'd confront me. And then there's a joke that Kiss fans know that I do. And the backstory to this joke is actually it's based in reality, which was the first time Gene Simmons ever confronted me live on the air. I was headlining Caroline's that night for the first time, which as a stand-up comedian,
big deal.
That's a huge deal. Yeah.
It's
Times Square and it's like, wow, I've made it. I'm headlining Caroline's in Times Square.
Yeah.
And someone told Gene about it and said, you know, Craig's doing Ken. He's like, really? And he said, give me his phone number. And I still have this voicemail. It's just a short boop. Hi, Craig. This is Gene Simmons from Kiss. He actually said from Kiss on my answering machine. It's like, I'm going to confuse you with Gene Simmons from Pet Boys. Like, I know who you are, man. Yeah. I want you to know that I know you're headlining Caroline's for the first time. And that's why I want you to know the Kiss Army is behind you. And I support you. That's why I'm going to be in the front row. He came to the show, brought a bunch of women with him. One of which he sent into my dressing room to say, hey, Gene would like to invite you to a strip club. And then we end up at a strip club with Gene Simmons, where it was me and my two buddies on one end of the couch and Gene Simmons literally covered in strippers on the other end of the couch. And me and my two friends going, yay, go get him, Gene. And then Gene sees me in the corner of his eyes in between the strippers. And he goes, hold on, wait a minute. Let me ask you girls a question. Do you like stand-up comedy? You do. Great. Because this gentleman right here, this very powerful and attractive man, is the gentleman who does the impression of me. Isn't that something? And then the girls looked at me and I was like, what's going on? And they went, nothing. And I was like, yeah, it's about right. All right. Yeah, you're right. Okay. I thought it. All right. You know what? Yeah, you're right. But so Gene would start getting me into shows, and then when I go to shows, it's crazy because I'm happy to be in the show. I don't think that I have a right to just hang out with them, so I'll hang out with the crew. But sometimes I'll notice that Gene wants me around, and he'll have important people with him, and he'll say, come here. Come here. I want you to come here. And I go, what? And he goes, come here. I want you to, these are my friends. I want you to entertain them. Go. And I'm like, oh, all right. Hey, what's up? I'm a comedian. And he goes, no, impressions. Come on. Impressions. Get to it. And I'm like, oh, all right. Who do you guys, you want to hear Tracy Morgan or do you want to hear Sam Kinison? And I'll start doing impressions for them. And then I remember one of his group of friends said, how do you learn how to do the impression? Like, do you work on it? And I said, no, I have an unusual background. My whole family's deaf, so I couldn't learn how to talk. I watched TV and I copied all the voices I heard on TV. And that's how I learned how to talk. And they go, is that true? And Gene Simmons goes, it's true. His family's deaf and he's dumb. And I went, what the fuck? That's not even. He loves to insult me.
That's
so, and I love that about him.
Awesome. That's awesome.
But yeah, between 20 and 30 Kiss shows easily, starting with Animalize and every tour, including that club tour, the Revenge tour.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Nice. That, nice.
That's one of my biggest regrets.
Now, the last one is, you have so many interactions with guests. Do you have a favorite memory of the stories you've told? Does something stick out and say, like, that's my favorite memory of Kiss or Gene or Paul?
That's what my shows are about, is all these run-ins and all these memories that I'm doing across the country. Off the top of my head, it has to be, and I was just about to say this, Gene gets me into this show in Atlantic City. It's Kiss and Poison in Atlantic City. And I see Paul Stanley walking down the hallway. I don't know yet that Paul knows who I am. And Paul's in full makeup, getting ready to go on stage. And I'm just standing in the hallway, and I went, go get him, buddy. And Paul looks at me and walks by and then stops and goes,
Craig Gass.
And I went, hey, what's happening? And he goes,
how come you don't do an impression of me?
And I was like, I do one. I don't think you want to hear it. And he goes, come here, let me hear it. And I'm just walking towards him and editing every joke I've ever done about him, because I'm scared to death to do it. And I did the impression for him, and he said, the conversation afterwards was, he said, I love stand-up comedy. I'd love to see a comedy show. And I said, well, I'd love to have you come to one. I mean, if you want me to, talk to Doc, and I'll send him the information. He goes, no, I'll give you my cell phone. And I was like, all right, let's do it. And he gave me his cell phone number. And my favorite memory off the top of my head is calling Paul Stanley the next day, which is very unusual for me, because I tend to, when successful people give me their phone number, I'll see their phone number on my phone and I'll go, I don't want to bother that guy. Like, even though they gave me their phone number, I feel like I don't want to bother them. But the next morning I was jacked up on espresso and I was feeling myself. I just felt really confident. And I called him up. Paul Stanley picks up the phone and goes, and this is the only time I ever called him. He goes,
yeah,
hello. And I went, hi, Paul, this is Gene Simmons from Kiss. And Paul went, okay. And then I started selling him Kiss products. And then I stopped and said, hey, Paul, sorry, it's Craig Gass. I just want to say it was really nice to meet you, and thank you for being nice to me. And he's like,
you know, I was going to say, you're starting to sound like that fucking comedian. And I was like,
and then I realized I'm on the phone with Paul Stanley, and I go, all right, hey, I got to take a shit. I'll see you later. Bye. And I just hung up the phone. Like, I got nervous, and I still get nervous around that guy, you know, but yeah, that's what the shows are. The shows, Austin, Texas, Seattle, and New York, they all are going to coincide with those final Kiss shows in those three cities. And the whole show from beginning to end is just about how I've been certain that Gene Simmons is going to kill me someday because of our history together. And then all the run-ins I've had with all the members of Kiss since. That's what the whole show is.
Well, certainly the people like us will definitely try to catch you in New York.
Mm-hmm. We'll absolutely. We'll be there. We'll post
everything and make sure all the Kiss listeners that we have will know about it. And they definitely need to show up, because we just think you're hilarious. Now, one last thing I want to add, though, is my favorite Craig Gass story.
Yes.
I forget where I heard it. I think, I'm not sure what radio station, but it's a YouTube clip of it. You're telling the story about how you tricked Lars into saying something like Unforgiven is a ripoff of Beth or something. And he's like,
that's good.
That was a radio show that I did in St. Louis. We used to have a midday guy at K-Rock in New York named Woody, who now is a really popular morning guy in L.A. who's syndicated all over the country. And between New York and L.A., he got afternoons in St. Louis at KPNT, The Point. And I came in to do his show to promote my gigs coming up in St. Louis. And when I got into town, he said, you come in, you can hang out with me for the whole show. Just whatever you want to do. Just stay with me for the entire afternoon. You can hang out. Great. So that Friday, I get into St. Louis and I'm driving to the station. And as I'm driving, I put the radio on to hear what he's doing on the radio before I get there. And he has Lars Ulrich on the phone from his house in San Francisco. My buddy Woody knows, oh, this is huge. I gotta milk this for everything I can. So he's not playing any songs. He's not playing any commercials. And he has no delay. No delay button. Oh, and every fifth word that comes out of Lars's mouth is a doozy, and it's all going out live. And I get to the station. I walk into the station, and he's still on the air. The woman takes me upstairs. He's still on the air. She walks me in the studio. Lars is still on the air. And I walk in, and I look at my buddy, and I go, dude, am I – you want to talk to me? Or like, and he goes, dude, I can't get rid of him. I don't know how to – hold on. And we hatched a plan on how to end the conversation with Lars and how to get rid of him so that I could come in and do my interview. And my buddy goes, he goes, grab that microphone. Hold on. Hey, Lars. Wait. Yeah, that is cool. I agree. Hey, Lars, let me just cut you off for 1 second. Those of you just joining the broadcast, we have Lars Ulrich on the phone from his house in San Francisco. And Lars, you're not going to believe this, but we have a couple people that are joining us right now. And he started pointing me towards the microphone, and I was like, he goes, we have Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons from KISS are in the studio.
Oh,
and
no.
And they want to talk to you. And Lars goes, is that really Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons from KISS? It is. Guys, say hello.
Hey, Lars, this is Paul Stanley.
And this is Gene Simmons from KISS. And I'm going to get right to the point, Lars. A lot of people steal from KISS. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. But on the new Metallica record, I think you've gone a little too far. And I'll give you a perfect example. I want you to name one song on the new Metallica record that is completely original. And Lars goes, I think all the songs are pretty original. Right. But if you had to pick one song, what would it be? And he goes, if I had to pick one song, it'd probably be. And he gave me a song title, and I said, that's a great song, Lars, but I'm going to be honest with you. I liked it a lot better the first time I heard it when it was called Beth. And he goes, how the fuck do you hear Beth in the middle of a Metallica song? And he started arguing with a fake Paul Stanley and a fake Gene Simmons. And my buddy Woody goes, hey, guys, we're just stop you guys for 1 second. Lars, we have a talk radio station next door in the next studio, and they have a movie critic that comes in every Friday to do movie reviews for upcoming releases. And they always have movie stars in the studio to promote these new releases. And they actually have Christopher Walken in the studio. He wanted to say hello. Can we have him say hello? And he goes, is that really Christopher Walken? It is, Lars. I love Metallica because I love cocaine. I love cocaine.
And he started talking to a fake Paul, Christopher Walken, still arguing with a fake Paul Stanley, fake Gene Simmons. At one point, I was Phil and Samo because they were having a little bit of a beef back then.
Hey, Lars, check it out. Fuck it, hey.
And then he was arguing with a fake Phil and Samo. And then Woody goes, hey, you're not going to believe this, Lars. Sam Kinison just walked in the studio and went to say hello. And I go, hey, Lars, I don't know if you remember this, but on the Master of Puppets tour, I left some cocaine on your bus and you never gave it back. Oh! And Lars goes, didn't that guy die like 10 years ago? And they go, yeah, it's really weird. And then Woody goes, hey, I'm sorry, Lars, we're just messing you. This is our comedian friend, Craig Gass. And he just wanted to say hello. He's a big fan of yours. And Lars goes, dude, so are you going to be in St. Louis when we get there? And I said, no, I don't live in St. Louis. I live in New York. I will not be here. And he said, well, fuck, anytime you want to come out to a Metallica show, I'd love to hang out with you. And I was like, I'd love to hang out with you too, man. I love you. I'm a huge fan of yours. And I thought that was it. A week later, I go home. I go back in the studio to do Howard's show again, and Gary, our producer, said, hey, I got a really funny story. So apparently one of the guys in Metallica is trying to get in touch with you, man. Fucking, you got to call this phone number, man. You got to call this guy from Elektra Records. And I called this guy to Elektra Records, and the guy said, I don't know who you are, but Lars wanted me to call you. We're doing a promotion coming up in a few weeks in Denver, Colorado, where Lars is doing this thing called Late Night with Lars, where he's going to take over this radio station, KBPI in Denver. And we're going to syndicate it to 20 markets. And it's just a big promotion for the new album, Saint Anger, at the time. And I guess you do voices. And Lars told me to call you because he wants to buy you a plane ticket and have you co-host with him.
How fucking awesome is that?
Sight unseen, he got me a plane ticket. I flew into Denver, and that started that relationship where this amazing moment happened where Lars introduced me to his band. You know, my family is deaf, and Lars walks me in and goes, hey man, this is Craig. this is the guy who does all the voices, and check it out. His whole family is retarded. I go,
Jesus Christ, dude.
My family, you're fucking my story up. Yeah. Yeah. It was a wonderful miscommunication.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I'm excited, man. It's the musicians that are coming to the shows in Austin, Seattle, and New York is what's making this even more exciting. But beginning to end, it's all Kiss stories from beginning to end.
Awesome.
With other comedians that have already hit me up asking if they can do it too. I know you had a comedian friend of mine on your show recently that took me on tour. Russell Peters let me.
Oh, yeah.
Love Russell.
Yep.
Russell took me on my first arena tour in Australia, New Zealand. And these shows are in small venues, so they're definitely selling out. Austin, October 28th, I believe. Seattle, November 5th. And then New York City, the day before the final Kiss shows and the day after the final Kiss shows. All the info is at getgas.com. Getgas with two S's.
Two S's.
And I will see you guys in New York City. I can't wait. I mean, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing knowing this really absolutely is the end, you know?
Yeah,
it's
I agree.
Thing, so.
Craig, Tom has one last thing.
Yeah. Before we go, I just for our listeners that might not be familiar with you, that may not have been on a cruise, that may not have heard this, I never get tired of this story. So this will be a good way to kind of wrap up. And please tell me and our listeners the cruise story where you were asked to do an announcement.
My first Kiss cruise that I ever did, I got in a lot of trouble.
Yes.
I met this girl, really nice girl, who was the cruise director, very upbeat, very peppy. She's the Julie McCoy of the Kiss Cruise. And when she realized that I was the comedian, she was like, oh, my God, you're Craig. You're the comedian that does the voices, the Family Guy. And, oh, my God, do you want to do a funny announcement on the ship tomorrow morning? And I went, oh, fuck yes. Like, let me ask you a question. If I do an announcement, who's going to hear the announcement? And she goes, well, if you want, we can flip a switch and it'll get piped into every cabin. And I went, flip that switch. I know exactly what I want everyone to wake up to tomorrow morning. The next morning, 3,000 of the biggest Kiss fans in the world woke up to, bing, bang.
Hey, everybody, this is Paul Stanley. And this is Gene Simmons from Kiss. And we have a very important announcement. Do not panic. We have a very important announcement about the Kiss Cruise.
At that moment, my friends walking around the Kiss Cruise said that all the fans had stopped, were looking up at the speakers and smiling until the next words that came out of my mouth.
We've just hit an iceberg.
Now, keep in mind, when I said we've just hit an iceberg, we're in the middle of the fucking Bahamas. There's no reason for you as an intelligent person to go, the ship's going down! The ship's going down! We're in the Bahamas.
But do not panic, because Kiss is going to take care of everybody. We actually have three packages to get you off the ship. First, we have the Platinum Package, $5,000. We'll put you in a life raft, and you have your own private photo taken with Kiss. Then we have the Diamond Package. Isn't that right, Paul?
That's right, the Diamond Package.
For $10,000, where we throw you in the ocean with Tommy and Eric, and then Kiss floats by on a raft and do a private acoustic show in the ocean.
Everything I said was stupid, but apparently a few passengers actually walked up to the employees and said, so Kiss is just going to charge us to get off the boat now? They believed it. They actually believed it.
Fucking fantastic, Craig.
Truly,
Love it.
Amazing. Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to seeing you guys out there, too. So
good.
It's kind of weird. I mean, it's again, it's as a lifelong fan of the band, it's very surreal. But you know that it's time. You know that it's time. You see what happens to Springsteen. You see what happens to Steven Tyler, David Coverdale, on and on and on. Ozzy, you know, and you realize, God, this is it. You got to go out on top and leave that memory.
That's the thing we're so lucky about, is that they're four healthy guys still performing, and all those legends you just named, they all either had to cancel their tours, cut their tours short, or not even announce a tour because of health reasons. And you look at this, and it is surreal. I mean, they've been a part of my life since I was 5 years old, and to think that, you know, in less than 2 months, it's going to for all intents and purposes be over is, it's a big deal for us. You know, for all the shits and giggles we have about the band, they're a part of our life. So, it's going to be good. But anyways, Craig, this has been fucking amazing. A blast. Hilarious. Is everything we wanted and more. So we can't thank you enough. Tell everybody again, those three dates and locations of the Kiss theme tours, the Kiss theme shows that you're doing.
First of all, I just want to say, if any part of this conversation is making you sad, Kiss now has condolences cards. You can get condolence cards from Kiss. Go to deathihearyoucalling.com. Deathihearyoucalling.com. Click on my codpiece, and you can get your Kiss condolence card. I'm doing three shows, Austin, Texas, Seattle, Washington, and New York City in order. They will all coincide with the nights of the Kiss concerts. It'll either be the night before, or in the case of New York, I'll be doing the night before and the night after the very final shows.
Awesome.
And all the info's at getgas.com, getgas.com. I'm excited. The amount of musicians that are hitting me up to go to these shows is already making this whole thing exciting. There's some really, really obvious ones in Seattle. There's some really, really obvious ones in New York. And I can't wait to do it, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. So thanks for having me on.
Can't wait for it, Craig. Thank you so much. Appreciate every minute of this. It's been fucking hilarious. So congrats, and looking forward to hopefully seeing you in New York City. We'll be there.
Oh, I'll definitely see you guys in New York. Were you going to say something else, Seuss?
No, I'm just going to say he's Craig Gass. You got to go catch his show if you're in the area. Specifically, when we're all going to be there in New York, go catch him. And Craig, thank you very much, man. We really
thank you guys. That was a blast. Thank you very much.
Tom, Craig Gass, or Gene Simmons, or Paul Stanley, or Sam Kinison, whoever else you want to say that we just had on, fucking awesome.
Yeah, just an absolute riot. Obviously, the impressions are spot on and hilarious. I mean, we try to not laugh over some of his jokes and shit, but sometimes it's not easy. But then just the stories, you know, his encounters with Paul and Gene, and the story that almost had me pissing my pants was the thing with Lars at the end of the interview. I mean, that was fucking legendary right there. Just he's got a crazy sense of humor like us. And it's great that he has this relationship with Kiss, and that even Paul seems to have a little bit of a kind of a little smirk when he talks in about Craig. So that's kind of cool to hear.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his stories. I think they're fucking hilarious. I could hear him a million times over. His impressions are fantastic. And I love that he gets it. And yep. What we talked a little bit off the air too, and you know, when people come on, just behind the scenes stuff, we always tell them the first thing is, please, number one, swear as much as you fucking want.
Yep.
And number two, there is no safe space here. You want to shit on the band or something you don't like, please, you're free to do so. We don't give Kiss foot rubs. And that's one of the things. And he said, yeah, I get that. I love to make fun of him, but people don't get mad at me because they know I love the band.
Yep.
And that's what we said, the same thing about us. It was a great conversation before we even got on the air. And it's something we could say right now, Tom, because we were talking about it earlier, too. There's a fine line. And I think most Kiss fans get it. What we're doing when we put fucking funny pictures of Paul eating gelato or Ace looking like he's fucking dead on a couch. We do it out of love and respect. We're not mean-spirited.
It's not hateful.
Yeah. No. We don't put shit on our show or on our pages to make you dislike the band. We're not trying to get, if we're upset about something with the band, we say it out loud. We're still fans, but we don't, our agenda isn't to get people to get turned off. And hence, that's why some of your comments, some of you guys get it, wink, wink, and some of you don't. And that's why some of them get deleted. We're not here to have a fucking shit fest of people coming onto our page or our group or our infiltrating, or what are you like calling it? Hijack our post in social media with stupid shit in the same old tired arguments of fucking Tommy shit or Paul. It's gotten to the point where it's not fun. You're just trying to get people to not like us and start trouble. If you like to do that shit, feel free to do it on your page. Guess what? We won't go there to comment on that shit. And if we are, then we open ourselves up to it. We want to have fun. And Craig, what he does, and I think what we do, is have fun with this.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a fine line between having fun and making fun of Paul and his electric bike, yeah, and Gene doing this and, you know, Eric doing that. But it's never mean-spirited. It's never hateful. And Zeus said it perfectly. It's never to get you to dislike the band. It's to get you to laugh at the band in a fun way, similar to what Craig does. Whether it's a roast or just a joke in general, that's what this is all about. Okay, we're not here to get you to hate the band. We wouldn't be friggin' 250 episodes into this if we hated the band.
Yeah, and the people that don't listen to the show are the ones that usually will comment, oh, I thought this people, I didn't realize people here are shitting on, like, they don't get it.
Yeah,
but that's the ones problem. That listen, yep, to us, and the ones that see a Craig Gass show, yep, know that we're all fans.
That's right.
And they get it. And yep, Craig is very good at hitting that sweet spot where it's poking fun, but in a funny, in kind of way, not in a mean-spirited way. And he's, yep, just fantastic. So I will tell you this. We're not going to be around in fucking Arizona or in Seattle, wherever he's doing his other shows. But November 30th show, we're going to try to make that Thursday before the final show. And if any people are sticking around after the final show, it looks like December 30 has his other show.
That's right.
You guys should check that out.
As this date approaches, I'm getting so fired up, not just for the actual concerts at Madison Square Garden, but for the ultimate gathering. I mean, this could end up, if this turns out right, if the weather cooperates in New York City, if everybody shows up, this could end up being the most epic fucking Kiss weekend that we've ever had, including Creatures Fest and the cruises and everything. This is because this is an event where it's just about the band and the music. It's not a cruise. It's not dinner with Gene Simmons. It's not Creatures Fest, all of which were absolutely incredible, memorable, once in a lifetime experience. This is down to the brass tacks of the fucking band and the music. And I can't wait to see a lot of you guys. And I can't believe it's less than 2 months away. It's going to be fucking incredible.
Absolutely. Tom, what we do next is we go to question of the week. You got one?
Yeah, we got one from our good buddy Wes Beach of the Plasmatics. Yeah, Wes. He says, as the end of the road tour winds down to the final show, and knowing that it most likely won't be any former members of Kiss, who would be your dream band to open for them?
Yeah, for those who haven't heard this, we've had this question before and we've talked about this. The way I look at it, my thing would be Bruce Kulick's band opening up with Todd Kearns, Brent Fitz, and Zach Throne.
Forget about that, though. Okay. Think of what's a band, like, forget about a non-Kiss connected artist.
Yeah, see, I got to think of a band, not that just previously opened for them, because they're not going to open. So, like, Bon Jovi is not going to open up for them. Iron Maiden's not opening up for Kiss. What's a realistic band that would? I got one for you. I love two of them. I'll give you two. Okay. And that's the 90s bands, Stone Temple Pilots or Alice in Chains.
Yeah.
Because they could open up and that could be realistic.
Yeah. I mean, when you say Bon Jovi, yeah, they wouldn't do it. I would like to look at it as, forget whether or not this band may potentially be bigger than Kiss right now or in general. I would like to think that this band would do this as a tribute and as an honor, as a sign of respect to Kiss. 50 years, you're done. You're ending your show at Madison Square Garden. So I'm thinking of going way back to bands that opened up for them previously. Like you said, Bon Jovi. Even a band, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of them, but even way back in the 70s, like a band like Cheap Trick. Like a band that maybe has some connection to the legacy of the early years of Kiss. And I mean, obviously it's never going to happen. That's why I like when we do questions of the week, because 90% of the time it's Dreamville. But I would like to see an established band, not an up and coming band, not Gene's son, not Paul's son, a band that has some connection to the legacy of Kiss. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah. The way I look at it though, is both Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots open for Kiss.
Correct.
Both of them could open up for them now, and they will accept that in a second. The other one would maybe Pearl Jam if they ever decided to like swallow their pride and be like, yeah, we could fucking destroy Kiss as a concert. But by the way, Paul did put out a tweet on social media and admitted that his son's going to open up for Kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's out there now. It's public. And you probably heard, a lot of you guys probably heard it here first when we were telling you guys that those rumors. And we got a lot of that info from you. The loudcasters were texting us stuff that you guys were hearing. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Agreed. Yep.
Tom, where can people find us?
Well, please go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. That's the best place to go. You get access to all of our episodes, the Shout Out Loudcast episodes, Dorm Damage, Album Review Crew, Zeppelin Chronicles, links to our Patreon, links to all of our social media pages, links to our merch, Amazon shopping, Patreon, everything is there. And you can comment directly from the website. And when you do that, we get those in the form of an email and we read every email. And if you want to have a question of the week or be part of our upcoming mailbag episode, you can use the website to do that and send us a question or use our email, which is shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. We read every single email. Yes, we get a lot. We're happy for that. And we read them all, but sometimes we can't get to all of them on the show. So please do that. And of course, social media, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. Trying to get a little bit more active with TikTok. Who knows? We'll see where that goes. And of course, another shout out to our wonderful Patreons. Please check us out on patreon.com or the link on our website or the app. And we always like to say that we are a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network of shows.
Yeah, Tom, people can DM us on Twitter. Oh, sorry, X, Facebook, Instagram, wherever they find a possibility of DM us, feel free to do so. We accept them. Not a problem. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and give us one of those 5-star child reviews on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcast, because it's a big help to us. It moves us up the food chain. So if you can give us one, we'll certainly read it over on the show. And I like to tell people they can always go to our website, shoutitoutloudcast.com, shoutitoutloudcast.com. Make sure you get our merch and go to our Amazon store and other ways you can help the show out. And also our email is shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com, shoutitoutloudcast@gmail.com. Tom, we always like to end on famous last words. Do you have any?
I do. You send your children to war to serve bastards and whores. So now you know you created me on the day that you were born. Settle down, Gene.
Take a look around. Only one solution. Set the world on fire. Fight the institution. Gotta stand our ground. Feel the new sensation. Something's going down. Rock the nation. Fucking one of the greatest riffs, man. Fucking incredible.
Not some of the greatest lyrics, though.
Greg Gass, Tom, Kiss Army, Loudcasters, thank you.
Craig Gass, it was a blast. Thanks so much for taking the time and joining us and having a ton of fun. Loudcasters, everybody out there, patrons, you guys kick ass. Zeus, as always, my friend, thank you.
Peace out, Girl Scout.
Cut the music.
What I want now is for all you fat, out of shape, worldwide Kiss cards to keep the noise down while I show the ladies what a real sexy man looks like. Hit the music.
Listen, all you people out there sitting on rented furniture, settle down.
Anybody seen Richie? Anybody know why Richie did Bobby Lupo?
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.